Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We spent the first hour going over some of the hate coming out of the left right now, and it's everywhere. And only 23% of Americans think that Joe Biden is unifying the country.
Unity!
But I think a big part of this does have to do with the pandemic and people's response to it. Because I do judge people a little bit when I see this irrational behavior, when I see people walking alone on the street by themselves with a mask on, or when I see people having their small children scooter outside with masks on, you start to think, wow, I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening. And one of my favorite writers, Carol Markowitz, she has a great piece in the New York Post right now, and it's titled, "The CDC's Cruel Irrational Guidance Traps Our Kids in the Forever Pandemic." Now, Carol specifically talks about camp guidance, and I find this very interesting because the summer is coming. Last year, a lot of these camps were totally canceled. Now kids are being allowed to go back to camp, but there's a catch. Carol, thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Grace. How's it going?
Great. So let's talk a little bit here about the camp guidance specifically. They do have to wear masks, and the vaccinated adults need to wear them as well. But there's also still the 3 feet rule, I believe.
Right. So it's actually 6 feet still. The CDC camp guidelines came out this week, and it contradicted so many things about previous CDC guidelines. So schools had moved to 3 feet, but camps apparently still are staying at 6 feet. They also said last week that vaccinated adults and also unvaccinated people can be maskless outside. But in the camp guidance, even vaccinated counselors now have to be masked, as do the kids. So it's all very contradictory and doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's sort of what we've come to expect from the CDC.
Right. And I think the part of this story that really I had messaged Carol earlier, and I said, I'm getting so frustrated just reading this. I don't have kids. I don't have kids that are in summer camp. But this part of your story really hits home. You said the people making these absurd calls will be sitting in air-conditioned offices while your children and their underpaid counselor will be needlessly sweating under their mask, playing color war in 90-degree heat. Don't listen to them.
Right.
And it kind of goes back to what you used to write about, Carol, about the pajama class. Like, there's this group of people that don't really care about how annoying it is for regular people to do this.
Right. The pajama class has had a really wonderful pandemic. They've had things brought to their house. They've had food delivered. They've had Amazon boxes at their door every day. And they don't really understand why we're in such a hurry to get back to the offices and why we're in such a hurry to restart society again, because things kind of went really well for them. And this is just a continuation of that, where they are not camp counselors. They don't know what camp counselors would go through. And they have never experienced being outside for 6 to 7 hours in heat, running around, playing games, playing sports, swimming, and then putting a mask on. And it's really telling that they don't know anything about what that life would be like and don't really care about prescribing things that don't make any sense.
Right. And then you also talk about, and I noticed that you were one of the only people on social media to kind of pick up on the audacity of the CDC making one guidance for pregnant women, and then about 4 or 5 days later changing it pretty drastically. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I thought it was a big deal, Carol, but apparently everyone else was just kind of like, oh, whatever.
Right. Well, so a lot of the pushback that I've gotten over the last, 6 months to maybe even a year is listen to the CDC guidelines. Listen to the CDC guidelines. Well, their guidelines are, again, often contradictory, don't make any sense, and often change. So what we had was, on a Friday, the CDC CDC head Walensky said that pregnant people should get vaccinated. And then a few days later, the CDC walked this back and said, no, our guidance hasn't changed. Pregnant people can get vaccinated. Basically, they went from should get vaccinated to a neutral, up to you kind of thing. And again, so if we're supposed to follow CDC guidance on things, here's a great example of where they have completely slipped, either made a mistake or we don't really know what's going on there. And it's completely anti-science, and we don't know where we're supposed to go after this kind of thing happens. And so I can't abide by just follow CDC guidelines.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Carol, I'm speaking with Carol Markowitz from the New York Post and from Spectator US, is Biden's take on schools reopening, because you're a really outspoken supporter of reopening the schools and getting kids back to normal. And I often have people on who are really passionate about that, and I understand why. Biden seems to be kind of just wishy-washy on it. I want to play you this cut of his take. Now, this is the leader of the free world. One thing you could always say about Donald Trump is that on most important issues, he had a strong opinion. You might not like his opinion, but you at least knew what it was. Listen to Joe Biden, cut 7.
Kids in K-12 schools obviously are not going to be able to get the vaccine by the fall. Should all schools in this country be open this fall for five-day a week in-person learning regardless?
Based on the science and the CDC, they should probably all be open. There's not overwhelming evidence that there's much of a transmission among these people, young people.
Now, this is an issue that people have been debating and, petitioning for and going to committee meetings. And his big takeaway is they should probably be opened. What do you think
right.
about that?
It made me crazy. You know, the thing is, most schools are open. If you look at a map of the country, most schools across the country are open. It's just in the very liberal areas like New York, like Boston, like California, like Portland and so on, that they aren't open, and or they've only opened on a part-time basis, or they have Zoom in a room where the kids go into school and they learn via Zoom from a teacher who's at home. So, most schools have managed to do this, and yet the very liberal areas, which are beholden to these anti-science teachers' unions, have been completely unsuccessful. And I think Joe Biden knows that. He knows which schools it is that aren't open at this point, and he's trying to protect them.
Right. And you talk a lot about New York. I know you're from there. I know you guys have plenty of issues in New York right now, but I just want to, not that it's a competition, Carol, but in Brookline, Massachusetts, which, by the way, is the second most educated town in the country, they will not be ending the outdoor mask mandate. They're overruling the CDC because I think it makes them feel better to wear masks. And I want to talk about this mental element of this. There's something about this that has really transfixed people, where it's become more like a religion than a science.
Right. It's both a religion and obviously a virtue signal. It says that I am on the left because I'm not one of these people who have taken off my mask like Republicans have. And it really is an in-crowd kind of thing. I'm done with mask wearing. My kids aren't wearing masks. That's it for us. I've been vaccinated. I'm moving on with my life. I don't care what the rest of the people are going to be doing. But it's really wild that the most educated, the people who have the, in this house, we believe in science, signs on their lawns, are the ones who really don't believe in science and don't really trust the vaccines, honestly. It sends a message that they don't believe the vaccines work and that they will continue masking despite being vaccinated. So it's so crazy to me that this is where we are, but the pandemic has become really religious to some people, and I'm sorry, I have my own religion already.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, and I think there was a story today about fully vaccinated liberals are scared to take off their masks out of, just like you said, being feared that they'll be seen as Republican. And in my mind, I'm just thinking the stakes of virtue signaling are getting higher and higher. Like, I used to think it was, you know, it was one thing to put a bumper sticker on your car or a lawn sign, you know, hate has no home here or whatever it might be. But wearing a mask on your face and kind of missing out on life just to prove that you are not a MAGA hat person is a new level.
Yeah. And, you know, if they wore the mask because they continue to be worried, again, that would be questionable if they were vaccinated and mean that they don't believe in the vaccines. But if they do believe in the vaccines, if they don't believe that they're at risk, if they don't believe they're at risk, and they're still wearing a mask just to show that they're on a certain political side, I mean, it's sick. It's genuinely sick.
Genuinely sick. I think that's the place I want to end this interview. Carol Markowitz, thank you very much.
Everyone should check out Carol.
Carol is her Twitter, K-A-R-O-L. And she just has some of the best pieces of work you're going to find on this, especially everything to do with masking and kids in school and kids in camp. And she's just a fabulous writer. Thank you very much, Carol. All right. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. Tax laws are going to change. I had an entire conversation with someone about this because they were selling their property, Jared, and they wanted, they're so nervous about this tax burden that's going to be put on them in the next couple months that they're in a rush to sell their property. And I think sometimes when you're in a rush, you can make some bad decisions. So you want to be protected. You want to have somebody on your side. And that's where JJ Manning Auctioneers comes in. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. Don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or decades. Sell today with JJ Manning. For over 40 years, JJ Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, JJ Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. There's a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly voted J.J. Manning number one for four consecutive years in a row. And here's the reason. They have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. When you sell with a broker, you pay the commission. But in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. Some sectors are at all-time highs and they're just booming, but others are losing ground. So don't wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy, too, before you cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We'll be back on the other side. We'll open up the lines and take some of your calls. We also have some Andrew Cuomo sound, I hear, and Jared is shaking his head, which makes me think, this is worth listening to. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
It's crazy. I love how the line in this article is Brookline, the second most educated town in the country, will not end the outdoor mask mandate. You know, you could be so, so, so smart. You can go to all the fancy schools and you still don't get it. That's the thing. Street smart versus book smart. I would take street smart every time. It's like the old expression, you can always tell a Harvard man, but you can't tell him much. I mean, what is this place thinking? They just think that the mask in itself, having it on your face, makes you a better person, and that it absolves you of all of your sin. It's this wonderful thing to walk around with. It's not. I hate it. I honestly, Jared, I'm at a point now where when I see people walking the street with the mask on and I'm driving, I want to roll down my, I don't, but I want to roll down my window and say, take your masks off. You're outside. It's gorgeous out. Common sense, guys. Common sense. All right. Now we have the poll question. And then I believe, according to my producer, Jared, we do have some Andrew Cuomo sound. Is this as good as last time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their Drain the Swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. Covfefe is spelled C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What excited you the most this weekend? Jaina Sanchez lost, Michael Wood only got 3%, or Mitt Romney got booed?
Oof. You know what? Sometimes audio trumps all. And in the case of this, hearing Mitt Romney get booed as he like meekly tries to yell over the crowd, I know some of you don't like me because I didn't like Donald Trump's character flaws. I mean, that's just...
That's why we don't like you.
It's music to my ears. So I'm going to vote for Mitt.
Mitt polling in the 90s for the first time ever. 91% are happiest that Mitt Romney got booed this weekend.
All right. Now, Jared, please set up for us what this Andrew Cuomo sound is. Is he doing another presser?
Yes. Governor Andrew Cuomo is doing his normal presser. Some might call it even like a dinner show, basically. But he's doing his normal COVID presser, and they mentioned that they're going to lift a bunch of restrictions May 19th. But he was talking about the need to get vaccinated and how really they have to deliver a specific message to a specific group.
Who are the groups we're targeting on the vaccination? Youthful and the doubtful. And there is an attitude that they'll be fine. Why should they take the vaccine? Maybe you will get a long-haul syndrome that we're not really sure what it is yet, but a lingering consequence of COVID. Or maybe you go home and kiss your grandmother and wind up killing your grandmother.
Oh, no, that's your job. That's your job, Andy. I'm not the grandma killer here. That would be you, my friend.
Aren't you embarrassed?
It's he's got to stop throwing out... Yeah, Howie always used to say, you're a politician, you don't answer hypotheticals. This guy is willingly making up hypothetical after hypothetical. And he's just freewheeling, Jared. He just goes out there like it's an improv show and just goes off the cuff.
It is unbelievable. The lack of awareness with regard to this guy, the love gov.
The love gov, America's boyfriend, as Vogue once called him. All right, so a lot of people think that 2022 could be a bloodbath for Democrats as far as elections go. I'm reading here from Joe Cunningham. I'm hoping he's right. I want to get your take on it. For years leading up to the 2016 election, the media was playing up talk of a Republican civil war where the moderates and the conservatives were going to war for the soul of the party. Remember that? The election of Donald Trump signified to almost everyone that the conservatives won. But with politicians like Liz Cheney and others who have not been shy about their distaste for Trump and his style of politics, there was a small civil war within the GOP that they could exploit for ratings and to keep the focus on the Republicans while trying to ignore the Democrats. But the party in power is struggling with its own members. The far left wing of the party is slowly gaining more influence, forcing more moderate members to abandon their seats towards the middle or stand opposed to the cries for ultra progressive bills and policies. Now, I disagree with a little bit of it says it's slowly gaining more influence. I don't think so. I think that if there's anything about Joe Biden that surprised me in this, it's how quickly he made a lot of this happen. This guy seems determined to out progressive Bernie Sanders. When Bernie Sanders is like, whoa, man, that's a little much, then you know you're crazy. When AOC is like, I'm actually really impressed, that's a sign for Republicans that they are not holding back. This is 1,000% Trojan horse. They got him in, and now they're just running with it. And what you don't hear about, you're going to hear about the Space Council, and you're going to hear about masking, and you're going to hear about all of his trillion-dollar bills. But you're not hearing about the border at all. You notice that? You're not hearing about the crisis. I'm sorry. I mean, the challenge on the border. There's so much here that gets missed because they want to convince us that Joe Biden is like this grandfathery, that's what Van Jones called him, grandfathery guy. He's not. He's a radical progressive wearing an outfit that makes him look like a grandfather. He's not a grandfather. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Your state, if you get 4 years out of here, 2 years out of here, it's 2 years towards a state university.
Huh? I'm sorry, what?
What?
Huh? Can I hear that again? That was...
not limited because they don't have the money. And we're going to give it to a lot more people. I promise you. I promise you. America will be much stronger for it. Because like I said, we're setting out a universal education. It wouldn't just be 12 years anymore. It would be those 14 years, 16 years I'm talking about. Two to start and two at the other end. And as your state has done under your governor and your senator and your congresspersons, your state, if you get 4 years out of here, 2 years out of here, it's 2 years towards a state university.
Okay, if you say so.
Can we quote you on that, Mr. President?
Howie Carpenter inscribed it for him. I don't know. I don't know what that was, but if you say so, sir, then that's all good. I was talking with my mom this weekend, and we were talking about how, you know, I think every generation just gets more and more wimpy as we go along, you know? There's a lot of comparisons to Joe Biden and grandfathers, but most of, you know, the people I know, my grandfather, they were a lot tougher than Joe and a lot more with it. But I'm starting to notice that every generation gets more spoiled because you want your kids to have better than you had. And, you know, now we are just being run by these, I think they're Gen Z. Millennials are bad, don't get me wrong. I think I have some millennials out there listening, and if you're listening to this show, you're probably doing okay. But there are some millennials that are wacky. But Gen Z takes it to a whole nother level. I mean, they just go around, Jared, looking to be offended, looking to have their day ruined, looking to be triggered. There's a couple words here I see a lot. I look at, you know, certain videos and whatever, and sometimes you'll see like a really funny video, and I always look at the comments. The comment sections will destroy your faith in the future of the country. Because the comments I always see are words like this: problematic, triggered, offensive. Everything's offensive now. And this got me thinking that we could have a new segment, and it's devoted to the daily, maybe weekly news of when people, younger people, get upset and need a safe space. And Jared was kind enough to create a little bit of music to add to this segment. Go ahead, Jared.
What, are you gonna cry now? Come on, cry, baby, cry for me. Come on, cry.
Dude, what happened to you? You're a total wuss now.
All right, so I don't know exactly what the name of the segment is going to be. Maybe we'll let the listeners decide. But here's the first story. I know that. I know what story I want to start off with. Disneyland Snow White ride attacked for kiss without consent. Now, if you're familiar with Snow White, what happens is she falls asleep. It seems like she's dead, but she falls asleep, and the prince wakes her up with a kiss. That's not okay anymore. Disneyland's revamped Snow White ride has become the latest target of cancel culture because it features the iconic kiss by Prince Charming that happens as she sleeps and without her consent. The theme park in California opened Friday for the first time in more than 400 days. And right, this is the part of it that makes me laugh, because it's like, this is why we can't have nice things. You know, the park's closed for 400 days. They open it up and then bam, there's a problem. We can't have nice things because Snow White is being kissed by the prince without her consent. Now, here's her alternative: to die. The alternative is that she doesn't wake up. She either gets a peck on the lips by the prince or she's dead. You know, I haven't watched Snow White in a while, but I think that's the main plot, right, Jared?
Yes, I think, well, I don't know if that she died. I mean, she was poisoned, so she was asleep, so you would think that she would die, but I mean, anything for the feminex idea, I guess, is the key.
Yeah.
Womynx with a Y and an X. I don't know what the...
Well, if anyone has any more of these kind of stories, there's usually one a day. Something is canceled, Mr. Potato Head, or someone's offended by something. People are actually really offended because Caitlyn Jenner said that she doesn't think it's fair for biological men to compete in women's sports. And the left really, really hates Caitlyn Jenner.
To be fair, if Caitlyn Jenner is talking about biological men competing in sports, I'm going to take her word for it.
Right.
I mean, call me crazy, but she might have an idea of what she's talking about in that instance.
Exactly. And then to go back, because it all circles back here at the Grace Curley Show, it all connects. To go back to my first topic about when certain people are so hated by the left, you start to wonder if they're doing something right. Caitlyn Jenner is slowly kind of going up that list for me. Because the more I see of the talking heads really hating her, the more I'm like, you know what? Maybe Governor Jenner wouldn't sound so bad after all.
This is a question of fairness. That's why I oppose biological boys who are trans competing in girl sports in school. It just isn't fair. And we have to protect girl sports in our school.
I might just be a Jenner stan. I think that I am officially rooting for Caitlyn Jenner. And I have no problem with that. For governor of California. But they might have to turn the C in California to a K. Like, you know, for the Kardashian aspect. I wonder if the Kardashians will support Caitlyn. We'll wait on bated breath for that. I do want to talk on a serious note about this incredibly sad story out of Pennsylvania. It actually happened in Seattle, but it's a Pennsylvania native. He was stabbed to death by his neighbor for not wearing a face mask. And this kind of gets into what we were talking about the psychological effects of this pandemic. Obviously, some people are depressed. Some people are anxious. A lot of people are down and sad. But what I've been noticing is that people are on edge, especially when they're out in public. People, you know, there's always been Karens in society. There's always been people who, you play your music too loud, you know, fun suckers. They hear that your music's on, you're having a good time, they call the police. You know, we all have neighbors like that. But this has really put them on steroids, and it's put a lot of mentally unstable people in a really crazy situation because everyone's so angry. That's what I've noticed. You know, it's not just, and I think the mask part of it too, it's kind of like how people can be really, really cruel when they're behind a computer screen. If you guys want to see that in person, tune into Hate Mail Monday later on. But there is an element of, if I have this mask on, it kind of like dehumanizes people. So we feel like we can just yell at people and say whatever we want and whatever. A Pennsylvania native was stabbed to death near his Seattle suburb home on Sunday. John Hugh, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, was stabbed in the heart following a disagreement with a neighbor over wearing a face mask. John, his two friends, and his wife walked out of their apartments shortly before 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. Ian Patrick Williams gave John the middle finger, so the group stopped to speak with him. Witnesses told the police that John then asked Williams if he had flipped him off or waved at him, because he was probably thinking, like, it looks like he gave me the middle finger, but I'm walking on a Sunday night with my family, so there's no reason he would be giving me the middle finger. Seconds later, Williams pulled out a knife and stabbed John multiple times, including directly into his heart. Officers at the scene attempted to save the man, but he died at the scene. After stabbing John, Williams ran to his third floor apartment telling his mother that he had been attacked by an anti-masker. Williams was found by police in a bedroom of his apartment where he lives with his mother, his hands covered with bloody cuts. He apparently told officers his folding knife was in the bathroom with a 3-inch blade. Police believe it is the murder weapon. It's horrible what's happening. The violence and just the insanity of all this. And I read a story today from National Review, and it kind of talked about how this COVID-19 has really rewired a lot of people's brains. And it says, you probably know someone who never got COVID, but whose whole life was transformed by the pandemic. It now has a meaning. They were the most cautious, the most locked down, the most disgusted by deniers in the White House or in their extended family. They didn't see their adult parents for over a year. They refused in-person learning options for their kids. The pandemic warped their relationship to their neighbors, whom they now treated as vectors of disease and even as moral cretins because they did yard work without a mask. They posted their second Fauci ouchie on Instagram a month ago, but they are still double masking or even putting goggles on their children, even infants, because they read something about COVID spreading through their eyes. At some point, the pandemic became an unshakable moral purpose. And that's the problem, is that this has become like a hobby for these people or a vocation. Like, oh, this is going to be what I do for the rest of my life, is wear a mask and yell at people who don't. Actual weighing of risks went out the window. There's a deadly disease out there. My actions can contribute to the end of the disease or to its spreading. While caution and restrictive behaviors can be justified by a conscience informed by the risk, the human mind can also make calculations based on superstition. A lot of this is superstition. When I'm walking by a restaurant with a mask on and there's people inches away from me, a few inches lower because they're sitting down without masks on, that's got to be some sort of superstition because there's nothing scientific about that. We're not following the science anymore. Wayne, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Grace. Two quick stories about wearing masks. Last Saturday, I went and saw my daughter playing soccer. It was in Plainville, you know, just nice middle-class people. I'm walking in thinking, I'm not going to wear a mask. And I'm looking around, and everyone's wearing a mask. And I'm looking for my daughter, and there she is. So I go over. I'm like, why is everyone still wearing a mask? And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Charlie Baker on Friday give the okay to not wear the mask in public, or was it?
Yes. Yes, I believe he did, yeah.
Yes, yes. So I said, you know, the governor just gave the order, and whatever, so I didn't wear the mask. But it was funny, I was just noticing, watching a video of my granddaughter, her and her best friend were the two best players on out of both teams. And when I replayed the video, they were the only two not wearing masks. And I mean, call it coincidental, but it was just funny that, you know, maybe the mask is slowing them down. But point of my call, as an entertainer for 30 years, I've always tried to keep that little smile. You know, when you're in public, you keep that smile and not look grumpy.
Yeah.
I've noticed that wearing the mask, if it's an unconscious, competent, part of, I don't have to smile now. No one can see me. No one can see me. But I'm, a year later, I notice I'm not smiling as much. And I think 90% of people probably aren't even aware about, you know, a little smile makes you happier. Grumpy face makes you grumpier. But it's weird. I notice myself now. I don't smile as much.
I know, Wayne. And I noticed the same thing. And so what I talked about this earlier, but I really encourage people to do this. And I'm not the CDC. I'm not Dr. Fauci. I'm not an expert. I'm just a balloon-headed radio host. But my advice for people is most people haven't been wearing the masks outside. I'm guessing most of my listening audience has not been. But now that it's approved by Charlie Bacon, if you cannot wear your mask up to the point till you walk inside the building, whatever store you're going into, I highly recommend it. Because that little walk, I know it seems stupid, but that little walk, that couple of feet with the fresh air around you and that big smile on your face, and you're going to irk the Karens. I know it, but it's worth it. It's a small win. These people who are telling us that we have to keep these masks on despite the science, despite the facts, despite the vaccines, they're going to go crazy when people don't have masks on, but I don't care. I don't care anymore. All right. I'm not, this isn't a culture of safety. This is a culture of freedom, and we're going to smile. And I just want to keep reminding people, you will be smiling. You take that mask off and you see all these dopes walking around with the masks on, instant smile on your face. Cause you just think to yourself, oh, huh, cool. I'm enjoying the fresh air. It's sad for those people that they're not. All right, I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network. So I actually had one today, some delicious pizza a VIP dropped off. So I can say this with confidence, nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Since the start of my show in January, Aviva Trattoria has catered a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. That's right. We have a we have some VIPs coming in this Friday to enjoy a free lunch. And every other week, they just bring in an incredible spread. But fun fact, I finally got to go in person to Aviva. I went to Maynard and I got the eggplant Milanese. Oh my God, Jared. My sister got the chicken piccata. Will got the bolognese. We got meatballs to start.
The bolognese is very good.
Ooh, it was all so delicious and great portion sizes. The service is incredible. And it's a really beautiful spot. I'm sure they're all gorgeous, but Maynard was especially really, really nice. And so I highly recommend going in person. You'll feel good. You'll get out. You'll be happy. And also, if you want to enter the contest, go to gracecurlyshow.com and just enter your email. And whether it's seafood, homemade pasta, Aviva has you covered. And they have four convenient locations, Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Takeout is available, too. To enter to win, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. I'll take your calls on the other side, 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
While some of the wealthiest Americans avoid paying anything close to that fair share, my plan revitalizes and the capacity of the IRS.
My pan's nonstick. So take that, Joe. My pan is Croisette. It's made in France. I don't know what your pan does.
Neither does he.
Yeah, neither does he. You're absolutely right about that. I have actually, Jared, on the other side, we'll have some journalism in the news. Because there's a big story from this weekend that I forgot about because I got so excited about all this other breaking news. Maureen, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Maureen.
Thank you, Grace. I just really love your show. I tune in every day. And I want to say that there are just a couple of things. So I stopped wearing my mask a few weeks ago because I have asthma. And I think there are other people out there, not unlike me, that probably were intimidated to take off their masks. But I did run into a Karen. She tried to confront me while I was checking out, and I simply told her to mind her own business. And I had a woman, an older woman, on the other side of this Karen giving me a thumbs up because there are a lot of bullies out there. So the second thing I wanted to say is I wouldn't identify Joe Biden as progressive because by definition, progression means to advocate for progress, and he does the opposite. He's a communist.
Right.
He's been bought off by the communists.
Yeah, no, Maureen, first of all, thank you so much for listening and for the kind words. Second of all, thank you for that daily dose of a Karen interaction. I think what you just mentioned, which sticks out to me, is the woman behind the Karen giving you the thumbs up. Because if I see someone with a Trump sticker on their car, and there's less and less now, obviously, you start taking your bumper stickers off. But if I ever saw people with MAGA hats on the air, at the airport, if I saw the guy the other week in the hallway who said, sorry, I forgot my mask, I give the double thumbs up and I start yelling, yes, I love it. I sound like Frank Costanza in the building. But we gotta keep supporting each other and keep giving each other the big thumbs up. You gotta keep buying Covfefe coffee and not buying stuff from Jeff Bezos. And when you see somebody going outside, I wanna give people the beep beep when they're walking outside without a mask on. Because it might seem stupid And it doesn't seem like that big of an act of bravery, but to me, I'm like, all right, that's one more on the good side. We'll be back with a little journalism in the news and an update on herd immunity. The goalposts are shifting again. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.